I don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the sweet spot 1-3. I'd give my good leg to heel Kyrie.
Not
anymore. It's the afternoon J-U-B. I don't know what you've heard about G, but he's with the sweet spot 1-3. He loves Nico like Lando loves his beans.
Yes.
It's the afternoon J-U-B.
All right. 2:36 on a Tuesday. You heard the theme. That means we need to contact our friend. It is the Texas Radio Hall of Famer. 1/3 of those morning musers, a Marconi winner, and a good dude. It is one George Dunham. George, do you read me?
Sweet spot.
George.
What is up?
So I want to hear you rip some people here in a minute, but first, as we lead off Afternoon Jub this week, are you watching Righteous Gemstones this season?
I am.
Okay. Have you seen the cold open for episode 4 when they're at the lake house and Walton Goggins, who plays the incredible character Uncle Baby Billy, is water skiing and he's doing so without pants?
What? Okay. No, I haven't. I think I'm 2 or 3 episodes in, so.
Okay.
And you see
it,
right?
I will watch that.
he's flopping.
According to stories, it's not his panoose.
Okay.
But you see.
Well, that's disappointing.
And it's quite hilarious. You don't need
John Goodman's.
You don't need any context for the show to think it's funny. But my question for you is somebody that still skis on the weekend. How dangerous would that be to go bottomless as you're like out on Possum Kingdom Lake or something?
Yeah, that would be pretty frightening.
Well, the amount of drag you're creating too.
Yeah. Slow you down.
Need a lot of horsepower.
You'll be triple skiing.
No. I have never skinny skiing, I think, as Ty Webb once talked about in Caddyshack. Or maybe that was what Lacey Underalls liked to do. Mm-hmm. Skinny skiing, going to bullfights on acid. One of them. I don't know. But yeah, that's insane. I love Uncle Baby Billy. He's so good.
Have you ever gone skinny dipping? Speaking of being on the lake with no clothes on?
Not in the lake, no.
That would be disgusting.
We used to take baths in the lake when we camped at times.
God.
Like, we're just grimy kids.
Yeah.
They just throw you bar soap and like, here, wash up. Because if you go up the hill to the showers at the public restrooms, those were just disgusting. Mm-hmm. So I feel like lake water was an upgrade.
I used to have those discussions with my kids. Does the lake, if, you know, we just went to the lake one day, does that count as a shower / bath? I was always on their side on that one. I thought, yeah, I think so. I think it does. I think you're good.
So if you jumped in the shower and just rubbed alligator guard dung on your face, would you also say that you're now clean?
It's diluted, though.
Yeah, it may depend on the lake. You know, Possum Kingdom has, those waters have magical powers. Mm. It's very pristine and clean. Not that there's not alligator guard dung in there and carp poop, but
piggy perch pee.
I think that's a very small percentage of the makeup of the water. Yeah, there's a lot of limestone too, which I think is good for the soul and good for the skin.
So this morning, and I think this came down after you guys were off the air, it all happened so fast. The closed door media availability, very weird. No cameras involved, no audio with Nico Harrison talking to 15 media members for the first time since the day after the Luka trade. We had Tim McMahon on about an hour ago to talk about this, and you guys haven't given your opinions and everything, so let's hear some George ripping.
It's not the most bizarre thing of the last couple of months, but it's another chapter in just bizarre behavior. I'm not saying this should have happened, but it would have been nice, I think, if the press would have said, no, we're not doing this unless you allow audio and cameras. I've never heard of something like this outside of in baseball, you know, when the writers get their own audience with the manager and the electronic media can't get anywhere near it. I never understood that because you can easily change around a quote or not quote someone accurately, especially like Tim McMahon was talking with y'all. At least he got to have his own audio where he could listen to it. But if the fear there is that it's going to be edited and it's going to be, you know, cut off or something like, you can do that with a quote too.
Mm-hmm.
And Monty and I were just talking off air. I thought he brought up a good point. Why even do it? You've gone this far. Why even do it? And especially in a setting like that to where, you know, it's not full access. I guess it's a step in the right direction, but the main thing I can't get over is that we are in mid-April, and this is the first time that he, Nico, has said anything about it since that very bizarre 10-minute session with the press back in Cleveland.
And Tim told us, so this was originally supposed to happen a couple weeks ago, before the Laker game, and for whatever reason, they didn't have... they didn't know why, but it got moved or got canceled and then rescheduled for this morning. And just the whole timing with it, and none of us have high expectations with the Mavericks. Hell, tomorrow, or if they do win a play-in game, if they win a couple and they make it in, we're not expecting them to do anything. But I would think the GM of this basketball team should be focusing on that. He should be focusing on the team now that he assembled, that he put together, that he said... defense wins championships. But yeah, let's talk to 15 people here where nobody can hear anything. And it's
the day before we play a play-in game, like you mentioned, which is, you know, bizarre timing. Again, yeah, we don't expect much, but it should be about basketball at this point. And I don't know. Do you want your players reading about the, you know, the quotes and, I don't, stirring up the distraction end of it? Not like tomorrow's really important to the future of the franchise, but I think you are right. It's like, okay, but that's all you have left, mm-hmm. or are the games that you have on the schedule. And, you know, if you keep winning, the season will keep going. Why would you step in the way of that and say, okay, let's have a bizarre closed door meeting with 15 members of the Dallas-Fort Worth press? It's just bizarre, just so incredibly strange. And that's everything around this trade has been like that.
My only thought is the quotes we heard today might ring even more hollow if they get just housed by the Kings mm-hmm. tomorrow night. You know what I mean? Like they've already flamed out. At least there is some sliver of hope of playing past Wednesday at this point. So maybe that's why they decided to do it the day before. I don't know. It's just...
yeah, maybe.
It's whoever's running PR over there is doing maybe one of the worst jobs we've ever seen in like crisis management in history. Like there will be college courses dedicated to how you are not supposed to do things, and this is like a prime example.
Well, that, you know, that was one of my favorite courses at North Texas was public relations. And I remember one of the really interesting discussions we had is that if you are the spokesman for an organization, a business, or whatever it is, and you are part of a controversial decision, you are up front, you're out front, and you try to answer everyone's questions. And if you can't, you say, I don't know, but I'm going to find out. And they have just taken the exact opposite, just... you know, Nico's 10-minute meeting in Cleveland, then not saying anything, not meeting with the media, and Dumont going on some bizarre podcast. It's just, I don't know. It's really, really strange the way they've handled it, and this is just another day of it. It for the fan that's, you know, that wants answers, they may just think, okay, this is no big deal. But again, this is, I think as far as the press is concerned, what a joke. What a complete joke. This is the way you meet with the media in mid-April on something you did February 1st, and you have all these rules. And heck, it sounds like McMahon had to fight just to bring a tape recorder in there for accuracy so he could listen to, you know, is the interview and make sure that he got the quotes right. Again, that's why you allow audio and TV in there so you can see things like body language.
You talk to your consumer. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Like the media now is the, I don't know, the bearer of bad news. So there's like now a buffer between Nico and Rick Welts today, between them and the people that actually plop down money to go to these games. It's just so chicken-ass. Yeah.
It really is. And 75 to 80% renewal in tickets. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's just say that number is right. Would you ever step forward with 25% of our season ticket holders have said, see ya? I mean, that's horrible. I mean, that is a sign that, man, you are in trouble as an organization.
Do you think Nico ever talks publicly again? Just like after today.
Oh, he'll write a book one day and make a lot of money.
Okay, one day, like 10, 20 years from
now.
Yeah,
when he's long gone.
But when the season's over, which is probably going to be later this week, or leading up to the NBA draft, after the draft. Like, I don't see him ever talking to an all-access media availability again. Because it's going to be this every single time. And the longer he holds out, the more question there's going to be. And yeah, maybe we have another time like today at some point. Like, I just don't see if he's gone this far. I don't see him just saying, okay, I'm going to go to the podium at the AAC. Local news outlets, bring your cameras. Let's ask questions. Like, I don't see this ever happening.
You may be right about that. I can't imagine that, but you may be right about that.
Imagine draft night and he doesn't.
My gosh,
Yeah, what about draft night? Or leading up to the draft and then draft night? You have to, don't you? You have to sit in front of the and try to sell, hey, this is our guy. We wanted him the whole time.
The problem is it's always going to be a lose-lose for him, because even then they're going to be like, hey, great, you got Jeremiah Fears. Do you think he can fill the hole that you created when you traded away Luka Doncic?
Right.
That's a good question. Yeah.
It's just going to be – that's the problem, is that he's never going to be able to avoid those questions, and he can't ever, while he's employed, say he regrets the trade, because the second he does that, Patrick Dumont could call him and go, great, you're fired. Mm. So it doesn't help him. That's why I thought today was dumb, because he can't say anything new. He can't say anything interesting. If the reporters there aren't just grilling him with Luka questions, then why are they there? So he shouldn't be talking. It's a horrible, dumb situation, but this is where we are. He shouldn't be saying anything, because it won't help.
No, he shouldn't. It does make me think, though, that noise means something. It does come, well, I guess if it was originally scheduled before Luka came back to town. But I've heard this a lot. You know, Nico has been ducking talking to his audience, like you said, Sean. He's been ducking talking to the media, and maybe that message finally got through to say, okay, we got to do something. And then someone, I don't know if it was, again, who did it, Dumont or Nico, who put the restrictions on it of, okay, but no cameras, no audio, and it's going to be kind of a secretive meeting in the bunker. It's just, oh, man, that's just so strange.
And big picture, what are free agents thinking? Hell, what are the people in the room agents currently thinking, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want to go, even if money speaks maybe louder than anything, but when you see an organization conduct themselves in this way, do you want to go be part of that if all things are equal?
No, I think the answer is no. I do think, didn't Nico get a question about that today? And he said, oh, no, that's not going to be a problem. You know, we're a destination organization for a lot of people. Man, I don't know.
And the thing was, this team got their first big-name free agent this offseason. Yes, he's past his prime in Klay Thompson. But he signed here because he wanted to play with Luka. And we saw this as, okay, this is step one. Even though Luka's been here for 6-7 years, you got a guy that wants to play with you. And it felt like that was going to happen, I don't know, every summer or something, whenever they could make a move that, man, we got a guy that makes everybody better. And now you have a really good defensive player. Like, that's hurt 60% of the time. It's not a destination anymore.
No, I guess unless you, and you try to be fair about it, you try to say, okay, well, if it is about defense and defense wins championships, I guess the idea is you blow up this year because you know, AD really hasn't been available, and a lot of other guys weren't either. And maybe you make a couple of more additions in the offseason this year that are defensive-minded, and then we'll see what you have next year.
They weren't
but,
a bad
know, Kyrie's
defensive team.
Gone for,
they, yeah. they were fine defensively last year
yeah.
and part of this year. I just don't – I don't know. I'm just so frightened yeah. of this, George.
I know. I know. It's just bizarre, but I couldn't believe when I heard this was going on. It's like, what are they doing? What this doesn't make any sense.
Well, I'm sure they'll do something again next week that will confuse us, and we'll spend afternoon Jubb talking about it. But if not, we can finally get around to watching Gone Fishing.
Gone
How about that?
Fishing next week.
Let's
That's
do it.
When we're going to do it. That is when.
And bottomless Can't water wait. Skiing.
Yeah.
Three of us. Now I got to go watch that. That sounds amazing.
All right, George. We'll hang out again next week.
All right, see you, boys.